But let me bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. We appreciate so much your desire to be with us today, not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, also to involve ourselves as a congregation in worship to our Heavenly Father. Speaking for several men this morning, I'm going to say, aren't you glad that you didn't have the scripture reading? For our guests, I always like to announce there is an outline in the bulletin this morning. You're very welcome to follow along, especially when you look at all the different points so that you can look ahead or go back and review as we make the presentation this morning. Continuation of last week's lesson on referring to the mind that we have and how the Bible describes it. Last week's lesson was not the right mind. And so being in my right mind, I divided this into two lessons and not try to go through 11 points in one lesson. So you get to finishing the lesson today. The last week's lesson, I put in your notes, not the right mind, was where Jesus quotes from Isaiah, who said their ears are hard of hearing, meaning a closed mind. People that have that bias already built up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Don't tell me anything that's going to change my mind. Second, in Acts 17, in the text that was read to us today, there were a group of people that just always wanted to hear everything new, that broad-minded person or individual. James speaks about the double-minded man, and that's not a compliment, to be double-minded. Also, in the lesson, Paul told Timothy that do not be high-minded or pride-filled. And then in Romans 8, carnal, to be carnal-minded is death. And it adds the phrase, it's enmity or separation from God. Meaning the carnal-minded man is the one that's not God-conscious. And then the last one was in Romans 1, verse 28, the debased or reprobate mind. One that just refuses to have God in their knowledge. But let's take a look at what the Bible says about the right mind this morning. And being in my right mind, I will look at the clock and take note of that. But when we speak of the mind, we're talking about that which is rational or reasonable. That which we use to think, to discuss, to consider. You want to be mindful of. And so let's take a look at the compliments that the Bible gives to those that the title of the lesson is the right mind. Number one, readiness of mind. In Acts 17, verse 11, Paul in his missionary journey has left Thessalonica. He received a good reception there. There were those that did receive the word of God in Thessalonica. But he moves on to Berea, and he gives them a compliment in chapter 17, verse 11. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In that, he says, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. In other words, the admonition for you as a congregation is don't even believe what I have to present. Here I stand before you and strive to present a biblical message, but open its pages just to be sure that what I am saying really represents the Word of God. Search the Scriptures because of individual accountability. It's not salvation by congregation. When the roll is called up yonder, each of us will be called up as individuals. So we have an obligation. Yes, I want to receive the word with all readiness of mind. But if you're just going to be a listener, I want to challenge you to add to your listening. Open the pages and search and see for yourselves. Prove to yourselves. And then hold fast to that which is good. In Acts chapter 2, it says when Peter preached, that they gladly received his word. And that's what we want. Search the scriptures. Receive it with readiness of mind. Gladly receive. That's the right mind. Number two, sober-minded. This person is especially serious about spiritual things. If you're sober-minded. The word is used several times in the Bible, but when Paul addresses Titus, chapter 2, verse 6, he says, young men, Titus exhort them to be sober-minded. Then he adds, almost gives us a definition. What does it mean to be sober-minded? He says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. So it's not enough just to say, I'm in my right mind. Let me demonstrate that by the things that I do, through the ministry that I'm involved in. Let me display what sober-minded looks like. And that's what Paul is saying to Titus. He says, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness and gravity and sincerity and sound speech. So there's a demonstration of being of sound mind. Peter mentions it also in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Gird up. That's a word we don't use very often in our generation. It had reference to a mode of dress, especially that was characteristic in some people in Oriental lands. When they were working or traveling, their garments would be, you know, free flowing, almost like robes. And so if you wanted to speed up your journey, you would gather up that excess and tighten them up, so you could move about more freely or quicker, so it wouldn't be a hindrance. But Paul says, I want you to do that with your mind. Take the improper thoughts and restrain them so that they don't impede your progress. Be sober-minded and show it. Show it. Number three, sound mind. That's a healthy, again, spiritual mind. This right mind, you can probably tell once you look ahead, we're going toward God. Godly thinking, godly understanding, almost with an attitude that says, God, what would you have me do? I want to be in the right mind. I want to present myself before you successfully. I want to be a God-conscious person. And that's the biblical message of being in your right mind. Have an eternal view, you know, the last. One that's, a sound mind is one that's not affected by human philosophy. The current fad. Oh, the new age thought. No. I want to know what God says in the pages of the Bible. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, a sound mind. In verse 8, a little explanation. It says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Sound mind. I'm not ashamed of the testimony of God. He says, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That power that God. So I put even put in your notes what Paul is saying. If you have a sound mind, obeying the gospel was a wise decision. You received that word, number one, with all readiness of mind. You were sober-minded, godly thinking. You were sound in thought. You took it to heart. It was a wise decision, so don't be ashamed of it. Even when hardships or the afflictions come, and people, and some of your old friends and neighbors may not appreciate your decision. And so they will begin to, you'll throw stones, you'll cast the rocks, and you're thinking, ooh, maybe I didn't make the right decision. Paul says here, oh no, sound mind. Sound mind. That was a wise decision. That was a good choice you made. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number four is like-minded. Like-minded. This person enjoys the friendship and the fellowship of those with like precious faith. That's a phrase Peter used in 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Like, he calls it precious faith. I like that. Not just faith. It's precious. In other words, there's some value to our faith, to our belief. It's the foundation on which we stand. There's fundamentals to our belief. You know, that God is. That God so loved the world, He sent a Son. There's foundational faith, and it's precious. And we need to treat it, our faith, as something that's very valuable. Don't just cast it aside at the first sign of trouble or hardship or difficulty. It's precious, precious faith. In Romans 15, verse 5, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. He mentions it, be like-minded toward one another, people here. People that are sitting beside us and in front of us and back of us. Those of like precious faith, let's be like-minded to one another. But it's according to Christ Jesus, not according to our own special interest. Or what we think is right or we would like to do or what the majority thought is in our world. No. Let's be like, we need to make our mind like Christ Jesus, which would be the next point. That ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, with one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. Not the faith of what you think is right or what the bias is or, like I say, what the popular New Age thing is. No, we strive for the faith of the gospel. That's what we receive with all readiness of mind. That's what we're to prove. That's what we are to study. The gospel. The word of God. Strive for that. Philippians 2 verse 2 says, fulfill my joy. Well, make the apostles happy, the Godhead happy. Fulfill my joy that you be like-minded. Having the same love. Being of one accord, one mind. That word like-minded and unity and staying together in our precious faith is given over and over again. That's something to be treasured. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, speak the same thing, like-minded, yeah. One mind, one accord. Be no divisions among you. Be perfectly joined together, and Paul said, the same mind. Yeah. That's right. So there's the challenge. If we want to be right-minded, this is the challenge for us. The last one I have, number 5, the mind of Christ, most important of all, perhaps. At least this will be that fundamental mind. I want the mind of Christ. And that's the text. Paul said to the brethren in Philippi, let this mind be in you. What mind? Which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to explain what that mind of Christ is as the illustration. He humbled himself and became obedient. So if we're going to be in our right mind and possess the mind of Christ, there's an element of humility in it. We display that when we look up to God. Well, it's just a physical posture of humility. Or we bow down, we recognize the greatness of God. Or we're on our knees. The mind of Christ, humility and obedience. And I put some verses for you. Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. The mind of Christ. What can I do for you? How can I help you? Get that? What do you need? John 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. So God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to live? How would you have me to treat one another? The mind of Christ. In Luke 22, verse 42, when Jesus is in the garden, knowing the crucifixion that's right before him. Oh, is there any way around this? The answer was no. There was an angel sent to strengthen him. But as Jesus, the attitude and the mind of Christ was nevertheless not my will, but thine be done, the mind of Christ. So now we ask you in the closing question, are you and I in our right mind? The biblical right mind. Present yourself before God. Say, here am I. Send me. If you speak, I'll listen. If you command, I'll obey. If you send, I'll go. The mind of Christ. So the last verse I put for you, Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affection or your mind on things above. On things above. Not on things of the earth. Got you out on time. I'm in my right mind. Lord willing, I know you'll be back next week. If there's something I missed in today's lesson, I'll get you next week. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of invitation. We also use the exhortation, the song of admonition. If you want to make a prayer request that you haven't submitted already or given to the one who's making the announcements, you want to say, pray for me in this situation. You can do that now. The close of the song. You want to become a Christian, meaning be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. Meaning if you've heard the good news, the Word of God, that God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, John 3:16. With that in place, and as you believe that, as Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want that. Then you, having heard the Word of God and believed it, you'll want to repent of your sins. Jesus said it in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Repent or perish. I don't want that. And then you'll want to confess, number 4 in this process, confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. It's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. He says, stop the chariot. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So they went down into the water. He was baptized. So that's the invitation we extend. If you want prayers from the congregation, you just need to let that be known in one way or another. You can submit it in writing, or you can just raise your hand, or just come forward and just say, this is on my mind. Or if you want to be baptized. So let's stand together and sing this song of encouragement. Song.